Final hour overdrive continues. The Major League theme song being played. The Leafs with another big win last night. Let's see if the Raptors can jump on that train. I'm not necessarily confident. Milwaukee's in town. Milwaukee played last night. They stormed back and won. That LaMelo Ball is a superstar, man. Like, I know we talk about LeVar and Lonzo and the third brother who's always kind of kicking around the D-League and trying to make it, but LaMelo went third overall for a reason. He probably should have gone first overall in that draft. He is a stud. His stats last night.
He's the one in Charlotte, right?
He's in Charlotte. But yeah, he's a really good player.
He should have gone first overall. Do you think they shied away from the dad? Is that?
I'm not sure. I mean, it was.
Can't help.
It may stay in your lane. It may have been the case that LeVar was telling people to stay in their lane.
Remember that guy?
You are a hater.
Hater.
Yeah. He was that something else, was, man. He was man. Everywhere. Remember that? Like, everywhere.
And, dude, people were eating it. Like, he was on with Skip Bayless and
everywhere.
Stephen A., and it was insane.
I think he just played it up by the end. You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't have been that oblivious to how idiotic he looked.
Well, he made up a shoe company that just did not
take
off.
Big baller brand. And even, his sons wouldn't even wear it. What sons are like, this is garbage. They wouldn't even wear the shoe.
Lonzo was wearing like Jordans or something. It's like, I'm not wearing big baller brands. Like, look at these things.
And weren't they like $500 a pair? Yeah, something ridiculous. Like,
well, it came out how many they sold when they first launched. It was like 540 pairs of shoes, which I don't know. I mean, that's
barely covers. Yeah, I mean,
you are a hater.
540 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, like it was a big promotion too. Remember how many people were talking about them?
I want to know who bought them though. Like, who bought them and was like, "I'm really satisfied."
Noodles,
these are fantastic.
I remember that, and there was a few people. I remember they were posting it on social media. Bought a pair to support, and you never know when these things. If these things take off, I got like legit people
in
society.
I'm fairly certain. And we will ask on Monday. Okay. Marcellus Wiley bought multiple pairs.
No way.
I believe Marcellus. What Marcellus?
He might have been one of the guys that was like, "I'm supporting, and these might take off."
I think he was like, "I appreciate family owned. They're trying to do something different here, and I'm going to support."
That's
I think
fair.
He bought a pair or two. I'll guarantee he's never worn them. I'll bet you he has no idea where they are today.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to ask if I can have them.
Yeah. You should. You should try to get the Big Baller brand, one of the 540.
I'm just going to, out of the blue from the top rope, say, Marcellus, how do I get my hands on a pair of Big Baller brand sneaks?
Yes.
Any idea?
Well, we'll find out. Okay, we'll ask him on Monday.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking at the 2020 draft. Anthony Edwards went first in many. He's a stud, too. He's a really good player. James Wiseman is the big that Golden State ended up taking, but you understand why Golden State wasn't going to take LaMelo. Like, they got Steph, and look what Steph's doing, and Klay Thompson's going to be back, so LaMelo Ball wasn't going to fit there. But LaMelo Ball has been he's been outstanding, and he's a legit superstar the second year in the league. But the Raptors have got Giannis coming off a game last night. Giannis put up massive numbers. Yeah, we'll see, man. They're fighting it at home, and they cannot find a win at home, and that's an issue.
Yeah.
Sticking with the NBA, I'm just seeing Shams Charania tweeting out, "Justin, Lakers star LeBron James has been cleared from health and safety protocols to return on Friday versus the Clippers."
Was he in there for two days?
Well, after testing positive, but since registering multiple negative tests, so it must have been a false positive then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he went in and then multiple negative tests and LeBron's out. So good luck, Clippers, tomorrow night.
I mean, good on him that he's getting healthier or whatever, but, you know, this testing process is, I don't think it's a perfect science, but, you know, hopefully that everything is good. Scary part is if it's testing positive, like, who else on that team had it or, you know, was at the tail end of it? Like, it's just...
The interesting positive case today is Tyler Bertuzzi from Detroit.
Only player in the league unvaccinated, and he's positive or he's in the protocols, and now he won't be paid because he's tested positive without which again, see, like, those are the rules, and they're clearly trying to coerce players, and they believe in the vaccination, which I do as well, but other players that are vaccinated are also getting it and they're missing games. And right. Bertuzzi's got to chew on, you know, losing paychecks and losing money now.
It's his choice, but there are people. I mean, there are people that can't go into certain restaurants without being vaccinated, just because that has been the rules that have been laid out. Whether you agree with them or not, that's the difference. I'm flying to New Jersey on Sunday night. You know, I've got a game on Monday, and in the States, the rules are changing as we speak.
They're talking
about PCR or antigen test 24 hours before you get on the plane now, not 72. And, you know, the cross-border rules, like, there's a lot of moving parts. So I get it. You know, what is it called? Omicron?
No one knows how to pronounce it.
Omicron,
I believe.
Omicron, okay. Omicron. I don't want to butcher it. It's just
like we know the Greek alphabet.
I know. But it's real, and unfortunately, like I say, you got to go through these protocols that they have set forth. That's really the lay of the land, whether you agree with them or not. That's the truth.
No,
I've had
absolutely.
So many COVID tests recently.
Well, yeah, you're traveling, right? Like that, and that's the thing. We're just getting to a point where I wonder if we are going to change it again, because now we're into a position where you don't have to test if you're vaccinated and you go over there for less than 72 hours. That just kicked in yesterday, I believe.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, the world just continues to spin, and we continue to change and adjust. And hopefully it's being overly cautious, and it doesn't really lead to all of these changes staying intact permanently, or at least for the foreseeable future. But that's far above our pay grade, and certainly not within our wheelhouse at this point.
Agreed.
Okay, so Al's brother, I think, is feeling the heat. Like, this is a big game, man. This is a big one for him tonight, because Al's brother is dealing with competition the likes of which he has never had to deal with before. I mean, he's on a cooler. It hasn't been going well. The flip side of it is the games you can't pick, I'm seeing the board again. Like, I am seeing the board, and
dude,
I'm seeing
it well.
We don't
care. This is not about you. It's not about you.
Pointing it out. So there he is, Al's brother. Now, look at the shirt he's wearing, too. He's trying to garner up some emotion.
Everything. I need everything for today's pick. This means so much to me.
You need to sway him. I mean, it's a one-man jury here. It's a judge, jury, and executioner. The O-Doug, your guy, your foxhole partner, you need to convince him, all right? So the Cowboys are laying 6.5. That is the number we're going with tonight. That's a big change, man. It has been moving in the direction of the Cowboys here for a while. And the Thursday night pick is back, and it's brought to you by BookSeats.com. Visit at BookSeats.com to enter the Las Vegas Sports Package giveaway. BookSeats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. At BookSeats.com on Instagram. Cowboys -6.5 at New Orleans. I'm going to shut up. Step back. Al's brother, preach to your boy. This is like Romeo and Juliet. He's up in the window. You're down on the street.
Oh, and I am looking at you with some kind of anxiety.
You're in the doghouse.
So I want to hear your thought process, your selection, and I will decide what to do with this hat.
All right. So here is the tremendous information that I've been able to muster up for tonight's game, okay? You talk about how the number has gone up. It was hovering around 4.5 for a while. It's gone up to 6.5. And mainly because of the injuries that are being sustained here to the New Orleans Saints. They're missing both of their starting tackles. Taysom Hill's taking over at quarterback. Who knows how that's going to go? They're missing their star running back and their really only offensive weapon in Alvin Kamara. I'm not sure how they're going to be able to move the football. Marcus Davenport, their top pass rusher, not going to be playing tonight. And when you take a look at the Dallas Cowboys, they have not been playing too well in the last few weeks, but they're getting healthy again. They're getting healthy. Looks like Amari Cooper is going to return from his COVID absence. CeeDee Lamb expected to play tonight. Now you've got Dak Prescott, who's a couple of weeks removed from that injury that he sustained. I'm thinking they pick things right back up. They're 7-3 against the spread, 5-2 as the favorite. New Orleans 1-3 against the spread at home. They have the 23rd ranked pass defense, and over the course of the last four games, are giving up 30 points per game to their oppositions. I think Dallas can hang roughly about that tonight, which means New Orleans gonna have to put up 24. I just don't see it happening, guys. I love the Dallas Cowboys tonight. Ooh. I'd be laying the points, but are you joining me?
Ooh, what a compelling case. Jackie Childs.
That was a speech, and you rehearsed it in the mirror.
The best
earlier.
In the business. What is O-Dog going to do up on TSN 2? If he puts the hat on, he's sticking with Al's brother's pick. If he doesn't put it on, he's taking the mystery box and the mystery pick. We don't know who that person is, and we don't know who they're taking. We will find out in 3,
two, one.
Oh.
The hat is on. He's sticking with Al's brother. Al's brother, speak to us. How do you feel about that? What a tire pump.
You made the right call. You made the right call because the boys are going to go in there and they're going to lay down on the Saints. I'm telling you, the Superdome is going to be quieted tonight by the Cowboys. You made the right decision, my friend.
Could you imagine if the Saints win?
Listen, the pick is in. Someone has recorded the pick. If we have evidence right now of someone, Carol Wagner, Graham DeLette, whoever it is, saying, "I love the Saints tonight, plus 6.5, and they roll, we'll play it 45,000 times on the show.
It will be like,
that means the end of this. If that happens, and the celebrity selection has it like bang on, then this right here, me and that guy, it's over. It's
over. The second that game is over, our Twitter mentions always blow up.
It's the best. Because Beans is coming out tonight for you noodles.
Jeez.
If the Saints cover tonight, Beansy from multiple angles, a thread of Beansy pictures are coming to Twitter tonight.
But like, Brian, it's a big spread, but like, I mean, you can't feel great about the Saints tonight.
I don't feel great. I don't trust Taysom Hill at all. But what I will say is Cowboys have been pretty bad.
And they can do stupid stuff.
Is loud. And you give me 6.5. That's a lot of points. That screams backdoor cover, late cover, you know, a late turnover that turns into something going the wrong way for you guys. And I don't have an issue with being a dog, a 6.5-point dog at home on a short week. Like, I could be in worse positions, for sure.
Also, is Mike McCarthy,
he's not there. That is significant. The head coach of the Cowboys.
I'm not going to lie to you, Brian. That makes me more inclined to be with the Cowboys. Really does. Okay. Oh, they're going to be able to use the clock properly for once.
Well, isn't it Quinn who's taken over, Mr. 28-3? I believe it is. So watch what you wish for, Al's brother.
I think that's a stressful night.
So stressful. Oh, I wish I had access to that mystery box. Only the grappler. There's two people on earth that know. The grappler and whoever it was, because I don't know. I'm not privy to.
It's either one of two people, and I know who we contacted. AK is the one person, and the second person is Davis Sanchez. That is the one of
those
two
are
people.
Two heavy hitters.
Yeah, pretty good picks.
Could be anybody in there. Could be anybody. I mean, honestly, I don't know who it is.
Did Kara Wagman send back like a middle finger, like she wasn't having anything to do with it?
But it could be her. And guess what? Now that you didn't use the mystery person, and who wants to be Al's brother? So I don't know if this person will ever return. We'll find out tomorrow. But man, if they're on the Saints, it's all we could possibly ask for. Noodles.
I just want to see like that picture come across my time. What time is that game over tonight? That'd be at about 10:40,
11:20. I'm talking threads, Noodles. Threads.
But is there a meme out there of Beansy? I don't think he's that popular. Like, GIFs or whatever. Like I don't think there is. But that one picture you always post, I just wherever I am, I burst out laughing. It could be a little midnight, and I check my phone. I'm like, my lord.
There
it's
he
just
is, with no comments either. It speaks for itself.
Just Beansy.
They say a picture can say 1,000 words or whatever the
flat
saying
out
is.
Picture. I love it.
And I feel it right in the pit of my stomach too. I see that Beansy post coming. I just know it's coming, and I see it on my timeline. And I'm just like, why? Especially
it
when it's a greasy backdoor cover, which it is 80% of the time.
Those are my favorite. That's when Beansy's on his best behavior and at his best form.
The worst.
Yeah, the sneaky little Beansy pick. So
you got a bad memory, Beansy.
That's right. Richie April, he knew what was up. He didn't trust Beansy either, and nor should you. All right, so there you go. What do we make of it? We'll see. We'll find out tonight, right?
Oh, yeah. How about them Cowboys?
Al's brother, I wish you nothing but success. I mean, I mean this genuinely.
I mean this genuinely.
Point, I think you
Excuse
do.
Me. I mean this genuinely. If what he wants to happen happens, then this shrinks to a three-man panel for selections next week.
Well, you guys are on the Monday nighter. Bill's at home against the Pats, so
We also have some house cleaning to do tomorrow before the weekend. So if this goes south, don't take your hat. and throw in the garbage at work there, and it's over.
Wow. I love it.
Good luck, Els brother.
Jeez.
That's all we can tell you, man. Stressful. You're picking winners in hockey, right? You said you had a big parlay cooking last night. So
Yeah. We took the Leafs money line, coupled it with the over, took it Matthews and Nas to score last night. They both did.
Good. Wow, so that's
good work.
Wow, that's great lucrative. That you got them both to score, too.
Yeah. I mean, if Maple Leafs always have players score against them. Like former Leafs, they always score against Toronto, always.
Were you nervous where it – was that Burakovsky's goal or Nas's goal in the second period? Nichushkin. Yeah, sorry.
I was, because I'm like, okay, whose goal is that? Because, like, realistically, Nichushkin did all the work. Okay? It just happened to be Kadri's stick was just hit, standing there.
Well, he celebrated. Kadri celebrated like it was his. He Hard. Turned
you
the boards.
You got to do it. Yeah. So it wasn't a selfish Peavy move, but it's like you got to let the ref know that you're the one that put it in.
Yeah, it's like when Hayes celebrates, he picked the right call. He picked the victory. Like tomorrow, if the Saints win, he's gonna celebrate like he's Nazem Kadri. Meanwhile,
exactly.
I'm the one who had to put in all the work.
I had nothing to do with
exactly.
it. Yeah, no, that exactly. happened a couple times last night. Spezza made sure the world knew that he tapped that in.
Yep.
And,
yeah.
And was it in Anaheim when Tavares tipped in?
Oh yeah, I mean, listen,
you gotta celebrate. Let people know. Yeah, you've got to let people know. I mean, Matthews did the same thing. He had a tip in earlier this week where he's like, "I'm let everybody know." That was mine.
Well, yeah. Wasn't it in the playoffs years ago? Wasn't it that guy Gilbert Dion that was like pointing to him? I don't know if you would remember this. It was in the playoffs. No. It was a shot from the point. It literally like hit him on
his
skate laces,
chest.
And he came out and was pointing to himself like,
it's my goal, jackass. My goal.
Give it to him. Well, that's before replay and all that, and they don't care.
Yeah.
Like, remember coming up, the refs would just get into the scrum and be like, all right, who had the assist?
Yeah, who got that?
Who
exactly.
had it? It's like, how many secondary assists I picked up by yelling that I was the one that passed it?
Dude,
Oh, yeah. You had to in junior because the phantoms that were going around,
they were everywhere.
You had to keep up. And if there was an unassisted goal, somebody would just go up to the ref and say, put my line mates.
Yeah, I had that one. Yeah, you missed it. And they didn't care. The refs were like, go ahead. What do I care about the game sheet?
No,
you think about it back in the day. Like, this is, 30 years ago, I had two buddies that were close to winning the scoring title, Kevin St. Jacques and Terry Degner. And I grew up with both of them, played with them. And they, on the last day of the game, the last day of the season, were going for the scoring title. And one guy got, like, 7 points one night. And that last night, and the other guy got 8, and apparently the 8th point was a phantom from the bench.
Sure.
Crazy.
No,
from the bench. And I think they tied or something, but it was like, it was real shady. It was like in Medicine Hat, and he like skated by the penalty box. It was like, I touched that or something greasy. Because
right.
I remember
it before I went for a change.
Yeah, like it was crazy.
I saw that one time in Guelph. I think my... I think my 100th point was a phantom. I remember my dad saying to me after the game, he's like, oh, you got your 100th point tonight. He goes, you didn't touch the puck, but you got 100 points.
Yeah. I love it.
Just it was greasy, but you had to do it to keep up with the Joneses, man.
Yeah. Well, especially forget the Joneses. How about the guys at the bottom end who are trying to get the double-digit points? They show up at the practice rig every day, and it's up on the board. You get 7 points. You play 45 games. You're like, I better pick up a phantom assist here.
The greasiest guys were the overagers. Like, there would be a one-slot open assist on a goal, like a second assist. He would be like, yeah, put me up. Put me on that one.
Yeah.
Or tell someone to go do it. It would always be tell somebody to go do it.
Yeah, go ahead. Well, happy
I love
that.
It.
Incredible.
Or a scrum. It was even better sometimes. I heard guys be a scrum, and they wanted the PIMS. They'd be like, that was a fight. Like, they'd be asking for 5 instead of a minor.
God.
They want it registered as a fight. Or, they want a 5-minute penalty as opposed to maybe a double minor or just a roughing. Like, our gloves were off. It's like, you guys just relax. You don't want to play anymore? Like, we're in the second period, third period. No, give me the fight. I want that registered. Give me the 5 minutes. Got to load up those PIMs.
Get the showers early?
Absolutely. Yeah. If you can, for sure, I guess. Why not? All right, Al's brother, he made his pick. He's on the Cowboys laying 6.5. The mystery pick will be revealed tomorrow, who it is and what it is, but it will not be used because the O-Dog has decided to ride shotgun with Al's brother potentially into the depths of hell again tonight. Cowboys 6.5 at the Saints. The Thursday night pick brought to you by BookSeats.com. Get on Instagram. Visit at bookseats.com. That's at bookseats.com on Instagram to enter the Las Vegas Sports Package giveaway, the best sports package going right now. Bookseats.com, simplifying the way fans travel. Come back and revisit our conversation with Sheldon Keefe. Has the goaltending philosophy changed in terms of a tandem when Mrazek comes back? What was he telling the boys 4 or 5 games into the season when it was getting ugly? That and more coming up with Sheldon. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Don't sweat the technique. All right, the Leafs are red hot. They've won 15 of 17, and they're back in action on the road in Mini on Saturday at Winnipeg on Sunday. Had the chance to catch up with Sheldon Keefe earlier this afternoon. Have not caught up with Sheldon in a long time, and we got into a number of things with him. But, Noodles, you posed the question because we had been talking about it prior to him coming on.
Yeah.
About the TSN turning point. What had he seen? Because the first 4 or 5 games were ugly, and they got smoked in Pittsburgh. They got outplayed and outperformed and lost in Carolina. So what was it? What was he seeing? What was he detailing? How did it quickly turn around? And we began the conversation on the early season struggles and what was it that ultimately turned this tide around with Sheldon Keefe.
Well, you know what? I think there's a lot of things that go into it, of course. But, you know, we came out of that game in Carolina. And, you know, at the time, I think when the game finished, you know, we ended up losing 4-1 or something like that. But I just felt through that game that there were a number of things that we did well that we had been trying to get right for some time, and I thought we did that well. We didn't do it through 60 minutes, and at times it got away on us, and a good Carolina team made us pay for it. So I think, but there were good things there. I mean, you're playing against a team like Carolina, you have to raise your level of play and your level of execution in order to compete, and I thought we did that. I mean, we got out of that game up 1-0 in the first period. You know, we were doing a lot of really good things. You could see it coming. But you could also see the standard of play that a team like Carolina was playing and really where we needed to get to if we were going to compete. So I just felt coming out of that game and you know, it was the messaging that I gave to the team. It was the message that I gave in the media coming out of that, that, you know, we don't get the result we want here. But I really felt like we came out of that game with a better understanding of A, what we're capable of, and B, the standard that we need to really get to. And it's taken us some time to get there. Chicago game was not perfect, but we did find a way to grind out 2 points there, you know, getting back on the home ice after that, and we found a bit of a rhythm since then.
So were you consistently positive with your messaging? Was there a balance between positive and negative? How would you describe your approach the first 5-6 games of the season?
Yeah, I think there was a balance for sure. I mean, you go through a point in time where you're very blunt, very direct about what you're seeing and what's not acceptable, what's not good enough. Then over time, you know, as the team's trying to find itself and trying to work its way through, I mean, you can only be that way for so long. And then ultimately you got to start finding positives and finding reasons to believe. And that's really what we did, and that was really the approach coming out of that Carolina game, you know, especially is, again, the results weren't what we wanted, but it was the first game where we had dozens and dozens and dozens of clips that we were sorting through to show our guys that we thought were really good and what we really wanted to look like as a team, and we just needed to stick with that for longer. Thought we were capable of great things as a group, and we found our way here. Now we just got to continue to ride the wave as long as we can and be prepared when things dip a bit.
With Sheldon Keefe, head coach of the Maple Leafs, the Leafs back on the road there in Minnesota Saturday at Winnipeg on Sunday. The Leafs have won 15 of 17, including an 8-3 win over Colorado last night. Well, it's an interesting comment you make because you guys are red hot. You're the hottest team in the NHL right now. So I have to believe the mojo in the room is palpable. Sure, it's positive, fun, you know, practices, high energy, the whole nine. So how is your day-to-day approach? You know, are you balancing, again, positive, negative? Are you trying to find some negatives in the game tape? I mean, that's got to be difficult to relay that message when you guys are rolling in every day and not only winning games, you're laying some beatings on some pretty good teams here.
Yeah, you know, and like again, it's a balance. Just like when things aren't going well, and you got to find that balance with the group to, you know, make the corrections and adjustments that you need, but still make sure you're instilling belief in the group. It's no different here, you know, no different now when things are going really well. Is we got to point out the positive and the obvious things that we're doing really well and continue to reinforce that, that this is why we've been preaching this message. This is why we talk about the things we do, because it leads to this success, and this is what this looks like. But we just, you know, there's things within every game. Sometimes they're one-off things that you want to clean up and address so that they don't pop up again. And sometimes there's themes that are showing up in our game that we're continuing to work at and try to progress. And so there's no perfect teams in the NHL, and we're certainly not one. But we're going to continue to work to try to get there.
Can you speak about your goaltending? I think John Cooper has a quote where he's like, show me a great goalie and I'll show you a great coach. It's just, and I always have a saying where the goaltender can save you hours of watching video if he makes big stops. He's been a massive part of the success recently. Just touch on Jack Campbell.
You're exactly right. It's incredible, you know, how much better, you know, things become when you're coming out of games with wins versus losses, and how differently you can look at the clips, and just how everybody feels when you come out with wins instead of losses. And in a lot of cases, goalies are the ultimate difference maker there. And, you know, like I was saying, we've played far from perfect hockey. We've played good hockey, but we played far from perfect hockey, and our goaltending has been exceptional, which has made us look near perfect at times. And that's, you know, those guys are part of our team as well, and clearly huge parts of our team. But certainly, you know, they've done a really good job of instilling confidence in the group, and not confidence to the point that our guys feel like they can open up and you know, just
he's
really,
stupid.
You know, consistently rely on them. Yeah, exactly. We've supported our goalies well. I think we've done a good job of reducing the quality of chances. And sometimes the volume's been a little bit higher than I'd like it to be. But we've done a good job supporting our goalies. But they haven't let in anything for quite some time where you're like, wow, they really need to have that for us. And that makes a world of difference, as you guys know. And in fact, that's something I took away out of the game last night. You know, as much as we really liked our game, we did a ton of things. I just didn't feel that's an 8-3 game last night. You know, I feel like, you know, the goaltending was a significant factor in the game, and maybe skews, you know, the way the game really was. Because I thought there's a lot of times there, you know, as we look at the goals late that Matthews and Engvall scored, those types of goals. Colorado had a number of looks like that as well with some really good shooters, and we just got stops on it. Yeah, so those are the kind of things that can skew the score a bit, and that's why I try not to get too caught up in that. But no doubt that Jack Campbell in particular has been outstanding, and his stats are well-earned.
Yeah, his stats are off the charts, and I think when Kyle and Brendan brought in Peter Mrazek in the offseason, it appeared to us on the outside that the plan was – to see somewhat of a tandem. Now that, you know, plans are always subject to change, and Mrazek gets injured, he's barely been available to you, and Jack Campbell has played number one minutes. I mean, he's on pace for 62, 65 starts. Mrazek appears to be on the horizon of a return here. Has your plan changed at all? Has your goaltending philosophy changed at all based on the way Jack Campbell has performed?
I think there's no doubt it's changed in the sense that Jack's just, you know, shown not just the results that he's gotten, you know, over a longer period of time here now, but more importantly, just how his body has dealt with it. So that's been a big factor here. He's been feeling good every day. I think that he and the medical team have found a real nice rhythm and daily process to maintain his body, and we've managed his workload and practices really well with our performance team and with Steve Briere and how we manage that, and that has helped. So I think it has changed without a doubt, but that's not to say that, you know, we need to get Peter Mrazek up and running here, and we think he can give us some really good starts and allow us to, you know, down the stretch here to manage Jack's workload better, you know, because he has played more than we'd like him to at this stage. But if there's been a positive come out of it, it's not just his play and the results he's gotten, but, you know, he's built up a great sample, great workload here that he and his body have stood up to it very well. So that's positive for us for sure. But, you know, we don't want him to play quite this much down the stretch, and we need to get some extra support for that. But yeah, I'm just going to say, guys, sorry to catch you up, but I think a big part of that is once again, the support that our team has shown. We've come in here, Joe Wall's given us some really good starts, and the team supported Joe and kept us rolling, and that's such an important thing, too, and showing that we can move the lineup around a little bit.
Yeah, Sheldon, you were talking about support, and that's kind of where I was going to go. I thought Jack was great when he needed to be, but you know, Colorado's a team that, especially with their active D, they were looking to kind of stretch you out in the offensive zone. And there was a couple times last night, and this is just systematic play where you could see your group just relax and sag to the middle of the ice, clog the middle, and Colorado couldn't break through. Is that something you've been trying to develop night in and night out? Is that consistency as far as protecting the house and basically forcing everything outside? Because I thought you did a fantastic job at critical times last night.
Well, it is always a major priority for us to protect our net. We want to be strong in that area for sure and have numbers as frequent as we can. So it's always a major point of emphasis for us. But there were some adjustments that we made going into the Colorado game, the one practice we had, and some more video sessions and just looking at where the strength of their team comes. You referenced their defense, and you look at some of the goals that they've been scoring here of late, and they get teams on the run pretty good. And I made a comment yesterday before the game that, to my eye, they're as good as anybody in the league at creating backdoor tap-ins, just because they get you chasing them around and all five players are on the move. So we wanted to ensure that we handle that well and not get running around and exposing the dangerous areas around the net and having the confidence that Jack could stop the stuff from distance. So that's really, what we tried to do. I thought the guys executed that well. It was a real positive for me in the game.
With Sheldon Keefe, head coach of the Maple Leafs. The left side up front has obviously been a topic of discussion from the offseason into camp. You've had some injuries. You've moved some pieces around. Recently, you've stuck with, Bunting. You stuck with Kerfoot, specifically in the top two lines. Bunting had three assists last night. Do you think you're getting close to solidifying that? Or when McKayev returns, could it continue to be a work in progress? And could it be something that continues to shuffle around throughout the whole season?
Well, I've certainly been happy with how things have been rolling here right now. Whether it's Bunting that you talk about with Matthews and Marner, or the way that Kerfoot's performed with Tavares and Nylander, we things have solidified themselves there on the left side for sure. We're going to continue to look at that, and when McKayev comes back, it's going to create some extra depth there for us on the left side. And we've forgotten here because it's been a while, but Rudy McKayev had a really good camp for us in great preseason and was very much in that competition, competing for time on the left side there. So, we're excited for when that comes back. It's going to create some extra challenges and competition, the healthy competition like I'm talking about. And it's going to be on the coaching staff and players to manage their way through that. But definitely happy with what we see right now. But it's a long season, and, I'm sure we'll see some different looks at different times, be it forced to do it through injuries or just myself might move things along just to make sure that we don't get, A, don't get stale, and B, don't get too locked into anything that allows us or prevents us from adjusting if we need to down the stretch.
How crazy is it? You just mentioned McKayev. I was down at the practice rink the other day. I had to talk to somebody down there. And I'm just watching and realizing that little Lions arena that I used to practice in, like a game day skate, it's such a production. There's like a couple guys on doing skills, and then they go off, and then a goalie goes on, and then a different coach is out there. It's like really, it's almost complicated, isn't it, Sheldon?
Yeah, I'm sorry. You're talking about the practice, because I think you mentioned a practice and a game.
Just like a normal practice day, it was like this guy was on with a goalie, and then another couple coaches were on, and then Haley was on. I was like, man, this is a well-oiled machine here.
Yeah, you know what? It is something that's really become quite complex and quite a bit to manage at different times. But I think it's so important. I think it comes from my time spent in the American League, where you're consistently in the development mode and trying to maximize every day. We've got lots of resources in the Leafs organization, be it with the Marlies or the Leafs. And that's been something that I've really tried to work with our performance and development staff, is to maximize the little amount of practice time we have. We have to maximize it. We're We're fortunate over at the Ford Performance Center to have multiple sheets of ice to work with, usually two, if not three sheets of ice. So that can, we can keep things fresh and give guys space to work on their individual games. And then we've got an unbelievable development staff that we can, you know, give one-on-one attention or small group attention to players and not stress the coaching staff. And then at the same time, you know, it's not always the same voices in their ear. You know, they can work with people that aren't in the fight with them every day and don't necessarily control their ice time, but they can just focus on making them better. So, yeah, we've got to manage that as best we can. And it can be a logistical challenge at times, but we've got a pretty good rhythm with it, and I've got lots of great support to help me.
Sheldon, we were joking last week about you guys being on the West Coast and maybe trying to find some motivation as far as, I know it's time change, it's a long schedule, and, you know, were there any thoughts of maybe trying to dangle a carrot and be like, hey, guys, we're not flying out here. If you win tonight, the plane stays here type of stuff. Is that the type of motivation that you need to have for some of these guys? Obviously, it's tongue-in-cheek, but the season is long, and you need to have a lot of fun, and you need to have something to look forward to in, you know, when you're in game 18 as opposed to game 82.
Yeah, I mean, of course, I think part of it is just keeping proper perspective here that with the long season, we got to let our guys be human at times. That's really important. And I think there's a lot to gain inside of that, too. I mean, you guys would know really well, you know, the camaraderie of the group. And that's part of the journey is to have those experiences. But, you know, in terms of dangling it or anything like that, that's not something we've ever really done necessarily. But we set up the schedule the way that it sets up, you know, whether it was, you know, we played that Sunday, I think it was a Sunday here now out in Long Island to start our trip. And then we spent that night in Long Island and then flew out to LA the next day. And you know, at the end of the trip, the way it was set up, we didn't give our guys any off days. We worked every day there. We were there with, you know, with practices and such just to stay focused and keep working on it. But the guys had time in the afternoons and evenings to, you know, get a nice dinner and enjoy the you know, sit on the patios and things. Of course, being mindful of the fact that COVID is still very much a thing and it's rearing its head across the league. So we got to be smart with that. But, you know, again, at the end of the trip, you know, after our game in Anaheim, we were staying in Anaheim and you know, the players had arranged to go to a spot together and be together and try to keep it as tight as possible. But you got to have fine ways for the guys to let loose and do their thing. And there's no better time to do it than after you've put in a great week of work.
Well, you mentioned the C word, COVID. How often this year, considering you're playing with fans, you're back in the States, do you have to remind yourself of the rules, regulations, protocols, and the fact that it's still lurking, where I'm sure last year was right in your face a lot more?
Yeah, it really has been a challenge because it is easy to let your guard down, far easier to let your guard down now for sure. You know, everybody's vaccinated and of course you feel a level of protection with that. Generally speaking, things are fairly free in terms of going out to restaurants and being about. So it's an extra challenge for sure, but there's been tons of reminders here coming. I mean, I don't know where we're at right now, but it certainly feels like there's been more cases already this season than there was all of last season, you know, save for maybe the big team outbreaks we had. But, you know, the number of players going on the COVID list and staff members for that matter seems extreme. And we have to recognize we're not immune to that. We have to be mindful of it and do our best to keep it out. But at the same time, know that it's been a long time here and everybody's vaccinated and we still got to give ourselves a little bit of freedom and have a little bit of mental reprieve at times and just try to stay as safe as possible.
Well, good luck with the skate. Good luck with the day off in Minnesota on Saturday, Winnipeg Sunday, 15 of 17 wins. You guys are feeling it right now. So continued success. We'll do it down the road again. Thank you, Sheldon.
Got it, guys. Thank you. Be well.
There's Sheldon Keefe, the head coach of the Maple Leafs. Again, the Leafs are back in action at Mini on Saturday. That's going to be a great game. Minnesota's a really good team, having themselves a really good season. So yep. We've got that still to come. We've got the Leafs in Winnipeg on Sunday, and the Raptors are in action tonight with Milwaukee in town. So we'll come back and tee that up and keep looking ahead to round two of the Hero World Challenge. down in the Bahamas as well. We're tracking that tournament. It's a thing of beauty.
I love it.
It's so good. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, Raptors back in action at home. It has not been a fun place to play for them, not a successful place to play for them. They've lost a lot of ball games down at Scotiabank, and it's not going to get easier tonight. Milwaukee, they're coming off a game last night. They beat Charlotte, but Giannis is playing. And if Giannis is playing and you're talking about the champs and a better team than the Raptors, you know, the Raptors are going to have to bring their A game tonight. They're going to have to defend well. And I don't know who even tries to defend Giannis with Anunoby out and Siakam, I guess. They're going to have to double-team him. They're going to have to throw the kitchen sink at Giannis.
Be creative. Tonight. That's what Nick Nurse does, right? Yep. They got to find a way to be creative, you know? Like, that's how you prepare for teams. I mean,
what about Gary Trent Jr. coming back into the lineup?
Ooh,
maybe
yes.
Do some damage.
Gary Trent playing again tonight. So that will certainly help. Yes, Gary Trent Jr.
Sure.
Being available. Can't hurt at a minimum. Yeah, but Raps are reeling a little bit. You see Zion Williamson had another setback, too, with his foot. So he's been shut down again. And I'm worried about this guy, man.
Dude,
I'm worried about
the size of him.
Yeah, there's all those little, you know, jokes online about, like, him. You know, it's not him, but it's somebody who looks like him and who's, you know, it's in a high school gym and, you know, the guy's twice the size of him. It is concerning because looks like a guy who could put some weight on quick, right? So
really, you know, quick. And, like, it's not Greg Oden territory yet, clearly, but this guy is always injured. And by all accounts, it just was like some sort of pain that showed up again in the same foot he's been rehabbing, and they're not going back for more testing because they're like, dude, come on. Like, we got to get going here. And they shut him down again, and he's the cash cow. He's the man.
Yeah, think about the sport with the jumping and the stress you're putting on your joints and your feet and your knees. It's like, how the hell does he ever get to a point where he can go again? It must be so frustrating.
Absolutely.
It's not like Tiger down in the Bahamas trying to swing a golf club. This guy's flying through the air. He's like a dunk machine.
Yeah. That's what makes him so compelling and such a great talent and a radiant personality. And, you know, Nike's behind him. New Orleans, the league is behind him. ESPN, TNT, everyone wants a piece of Zion, but it's fading, man. Like, the star is fading here a little bit. Out of sight, out of mind, it's like, all right, you know, we'll find someone else to put on.
Other people surpass you because they're in your face every day. You know,
right.
You just talked about LaMelo Ball. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you're like, this guy's a player. Well, you get to watch him.
LaMelo's playing.
Exactly.
Golden State is back. You know, like, you're all of a sudden, you're looking at this, you're like, okay, I guess we don't need to seek out different angles and different stars and try to promote different markets because some of the big boys are rolling back. The Knicks are good. Brooklyn's the real deal. Kevin Durant, James Harden playing 40 minutes a night, you know. So, we'll see. I hope for Zion's case, the NBA's case, you hope he gets healthy, you hope he gets in shape, and it's all good, and this is just a blip in the radar. But
maybe send him your Kobe's.
That might be worthy of looking into. That might be something.
From an avid listener and viewer.
Okay.
Send him your Kobe's.
My Kobe's? They are a hot item. I have them down here still, I believe. They're a beautiful shoe. Those Kobe's are a beautiful shoe. There's no disputing that. All right, so we got the Raptors in action on the Thursday night of the Dallas Cowboys are at New Orleans. Dallas laying 6.5. Al's brother picking the Dallas Cowboys. The O Dog could have taken the mystery pick in the mystery box. He said no guy.
Yeah.
No dice.
No guy.
And he sold that down the river. He's going back into the foxhole with Al's brother. So Team Al Dog are linked, and they're on Dallas tonight. So good luck to them. And it's going to be a fun evening with those games going on. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy all the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
Jerry Jonas Johansson back at it, 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.